Well, what does the word epiphany mean? It means a breakthrough, a sudden awareness, a revealing. It means a moment when you say, aha, that's what epiphany means. Like the three wise men who, when they arrived at the house where Jesus was staying with his mother and her husband, fell down and worshiped him. Why? They had an epiphany. They likely saw a young child, an infant, but they had some sort of epiphany, didn't they? They had some sort of a moment of saying, aha, this is the one. This is the Messiah, the Christ. That's why the star is shining right on this place, because this is the one. The star was from heaven and pointed to someone quite remarkable, you know. The foretold Messiah, the King of the Jews. But who did they encounter? They encountered a child. It says they went and saw the young child in the house where he was staying with his mother Mary. He did not, by the way, this young child did not, contrary to some beliefs, have a permanently implanted halo over his head. Did you know that? I know you see a lot of pictures, Renaissance pictures, of whenever you see Jesus, even if he's a baby or a small child or a grown adult, he's got this halo all around him. I don't have a problem with that. He's the Son of God. But the three kings, or the three wise men, they're called kings or wise men, they didn't walk into this house and say, whoa, there's the guy with the halo over his head, right? He wasn't a glow-in-the-dark sort of child. There was no aura or spiritual cloud that followed him wherever he went. No, in fact, the only outward sign that we know of was the star that shone in the east. The three wise men knew that this star was a sign from heaven and that this child was worthy of worship and also of receiving valuable gifts. See, we took down a lot of the Christmas decorations. They're not all gone yet, but most of them are gone. But you notice that the nativity, the crochet, is still sitting up here in front. Because today is the visitation of the Magi, the Epiphany, the wise men who came, and that's the depiction there. Though they didn't technically come and see him in the manger, it says they saw him in the house where he was staying because he was already out of the manger. I don't think Joseph let them stay there much more than one night, right? You know, it's like, okay, we finally got a room, let's go and stay here. But that's where they saw Jesus, and the three wise men, the depiction of them bringing him gifts, is why the nativity scene is still up front. And the color white for today is the first Sunday of Epiphany. The second Sunday The second Sunday of Epiphany, everything turns green. So we'll have green vestments next week, and the altar will be decorated in green. So the three wise men came to the house where they were staying, and we're not told whether they had a conversation with Mary. I mean, maybe she filled them in on a few things. Maybe she told them all about the visitation by the Holy Spirit and of the angels. In any event, these men who in their own lives has attained much wisdom and knowledge, these men who are called wise men, who are called kings, who in their lives had attained much wisdom and knowledge, when they saw Christ, bowed down and worshiped him. It said they fell down and worshiped him. You see, their wisdom and knowledge are good things, aren't they? Are wisdom and knowledge good things? Yes, they are. In fact, the book of James talks about the wisdom from above, which comes down from heaven, which is first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated, and without hypocrisy. The wisdom of God is a good thing, and these wise men were wise in their own ways. They had wisdom and knowledge. But you see, wisdom and knowledge bows down to Jesus Christ. I don't think the wise men realized fully who they were in the midst of, but they knew that this was somebody special. The prophets had foretold, the star shone down, we're going to worship him. Have you had an epiphany about who Jesus is? You know, one of the things that I think it just bugs me is that I don't always get it. And I suspect that many of you have that same thing going on. He's here right now. Did you know that? Jesus is here right now. See, it's easy to say yes and to say amen and to nod our heads and to give affirmation to that. But the realization that he really is here right now. See, that's what epiphany is. Epiphany is the realization that this is Christ. that was as we gather together, he's here. And he's not just here when we gather together. Where is he? He's here, isn't he? We take him with us every single day. That's a realization. That's an awareness. It's like a sudden moment. You say, well, yeah, he really is here. In our reading in Acts today, Peter began to speak about who Jesus is. And he talked about how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. This should be an epiphany for all of us. Do you know anybody else today who has been filled with the Holy Spirit and power? Well, that would be you, wouldn't it? That would be you. Is it a different Holy Spirit or a different power? No, the Bible says it's the same Holy Spirit that fills you, that filled Jesus. He fills us. Maybe you're like some people and say, if I could only be in his presence. Maybe you believe that if you could just touch the hem of his garment, that you'd be healed of whatever ails you. Maybe deep in your soul there's a bruise that you long to have healed, a bruise from long ago. Or maybe you're just biding time wishing for some renewal or anything that will start your inner engine again. You need an epiphany. You need a breakthrough. In Isaiah today, Jesus is described and depicted properly as one who will not break a bruised reed. He will not snuff a smoldering wick. You know what that means? You notice right after a candle goes out that the first thing that happens is that there's some smoke coming up from that wick and it stays pretty warm? That's a smoldering wick. What does Jesus do? Does he put it out? No. What's he do? He reignites it, doesn't he? He lights the fire again. That's what it says in Isaiah. He heals the broken heart and then lights the fire of that wick that's smoldering inside of you. And it says that he will be a light for us who sat in the darkness, a light that will never go out or diminish. A light that will never go out or diminish. It says he will open the eyes of the blind so that they can see him. Sometimes when we're singing that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Why do we sing that over and over again? Because all of us get blinded. We get blinded by the things of the world and cares of the world, and we need to open our eyes and see that he's here, that he's here. He will free you from whatever imprisons your soul and bring light to your darkness, whatever that is. In our psalm today, it says he's always faithful and merciful. He never changes. The young child who grew into a man, but who was at the same time the Son of God, this one, this Jesus Christ, is able and willing to do in you whatever you need to have done. I don't know about you, but now that I'm working full-time again at another job, I need an epiphany about every couple hours. And it's not because anything is happening necessarily, but it's just because I really need that refreshment, that infilling. And is it because God left me on my own? No, it's because I just started to do other things and think other things, and I come to my senses and I say, God, you're here, Jesus, right here. You're with me at every moment. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go away. That doesn't mean I shouldn't do my job. I should, and I should do it well. It just means that I think more than anything else, If you read the whole Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, more than anything else, it is sharing a message with you that says God is with you at every moment, that Jesus lives inside of you all the time and that he never leaves. See, we don't need to go searching for the Christ child, following stars, because he's here. What did the wise men have to do? It says they fell down and worshiped him. All their wisdom and all the things that they brought with them, as soon as they saw Christ, they fell down and worshiped him. They're depicted as kings with crowns on. Did you ever notice when somebody takes off a crown what they do? Does anybody ever take off a crown like this? No, what do? They go like this, don't they? Well, what are they doing? They're bowing down. Huh? See, when you encounter Christ, take all that stuff, the crown, because those things are your crowns, aren't they? Take that crown, set it down. Chris said it earlier, take the crowns and set them down at the cross. Say, I'm going to set down all this stuff that encumbers me, and I'm going to worship him. I'm going to fall down and worship. Then you'll see a star. You'll see the sign, the faithfulness of him that we lack. When I do that, I see his mercy and love towards me. Because as many times as I seemingly leave his presence and go into the darkness of the world, he never leaves me. And therein, you see, therein lies the epiphany for all of us. That he's always here. This sounds easy enough, but that sounds easy enough, but we're all fickle and moody, aren't we? Well, aren't we? We're all kind of fickle and moody. I know that when some people get angry or upset, they act as though there is no God. Yes, God is here right now with me, but don't get me mad. He'll go away, huh? I know that when many people get into their sins or get so far away from God that they cannot see the way back, they tend to give up and turn to other things to try to fill them up. They go away from God instead of to him. Have you been there? Or maybe you're there now. The epiphany is for you, if that's where you are. This epiphany, this realization for you is that he will not throw you away like trash. He will not abandon you. He will not discard you, even if you discard him. No, he will bind up your wounds, heal your broken heart, reignite your fire, and set you back on the path of life of his will for you. He is able and willing to do this for everybody that's sitting here. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, I'm not worthy of him. I'm not worthy to even pray to him. You may think you're not worthy. Join the club. Do you think there's anything you can do within yourself to make you worthy? Do you think you have enough wisdom and knowledge and stuff going on inside of you to make you worthy? No. Is there something we say at the end of communion, just before, at the end of the Eucharist, just before we receive the body and blood of Christ? Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. What am I holding up? What is the celebrant holding up when you say that? The body and blood of Christ. Let's elevate the body and blood of Christ, because try and get this now, okay, because this is a great mystery, and it's the wondrous mystery of the Eucharist. Jesus is here. He's here. And he's there. He said, this is my body. He said that. This is my blood. See, Bishop Kessler told me, he said, if we could get that, if we could just get that, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say something that he was hesitant to say, but he said, if we could get that, when we receive the Eucharist, we're receiving Christ himself. We wouldn't need prayers afterwards. That's what he said. Roman Catholics know this really well, don't they? Roman Catholics, they have a real high view of the Eucharist. This is the body and blood of Christ. It's not a wafer and a little glass of wine. This is the body and blood of Christ, not a memorial meal. This is a very serious thing that we do. Why? That's the epiphany. Because he is here and we can touch the hem of his garment. We can touch the hem of his garment and say truly, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. I'm going to receive you, but I'm not worthy to. But just say the word and I'll be healed. Healed of that unworthiness. Because why? Because he makes us worthy. Because he makes us worthy. That's an epiphany right there. And so we come up and we receive his body. We've been forgiven. We've been made worthy by him. And we receive his blood. Jesus said, if you do not eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in my kingdom. And so we come up and we obey that command. And we partake of him. And there he is, Jesus. Right there. You're handling him. You're touching him, and he's touching you. Can you get that? That is so important. Have you been baptized? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been anointed? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this Holy Spirit? What are you going to do with this anointing? What are you going to do with this power? What are you waiting for? Do you need another epiphany? Or is this enough? Is Jesus enough for you? Well, here it is. If you need another epiphany, here it is. He's here. He is here. Can you fathom what that means? Here you are, endued with the Holy Spirit of the living God, the same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. He lives in you. He wants to live in you and do his work through you. Can you grasp that? If you can, then take the steps that he's been telling you to take. If you can grasp that Jesus is here, and that he lives in you with that power and that same Holy Spirit, then step out and do what he's been calling you to do. And you'll find an epiphany right there inside of you. If you'll take the chance and truly believe that he is exactly and truly who he says he is, and that he is now living in you, you'll be able to conquer and be victorious in your life. In Revelation it says, he who conquers will be my child and I will be his father. So get this. If you get nothing else, take this with you for this week, this month, this year, for your lifetime. Take this with you. He is here now. He never leaves. Come with us as we partake of him as a group, as a family gathered around the table. Be healed with the Eucharist. Be healed of the bruises that fester in your soul. Be set free from the prison that sometimes is in your mind. And be enlightened by his fire. And then walk in that light every day. Have an epiphany. Have a breakthrough, a sudden awareness, a aha moment. Because to as many as received him, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, and the ability to become sons and daughters of God. Do you want a renewal, an epiphany? Just keep saying to yourself and to each other, just keep believing and realizing that he is here and he's not going away. All through the week, the month, the year, the lifetime, remember, he's here in your heart, in each other, in the Holy Scriptures, in the sacraments, in the Eucharist. He is here. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the epiphany. Amen.